Grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is recorded in the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, verses 26 and following. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." This is our text. Fellow believers in our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, of course, Jesus' rebuke of Thomas here was justified, a mild rebuke. But the legacy of the nickname of Doubting Thomas is certainly not justified. It might be better if Jesus were rebuking us for leaving Thomas a doubter. Perhaps the better question is, and I invite you to insert your name, am I a doubting? Am I a doubting Mary? Am I a doubting Steve, Ralph, Terry? Am I a doubting... insert your name. Thomas, of course, did doubt, but he was no more or less a doubter than the other disciples. In fact, as New Testament scholar D.A. Carson reminds us, Thomas gives, quote, one of the great Christological confessions in the New Testament. The story ends with Thomas, a confessor. Why don't we call it Thomas the Confessor rather than Doubting Thomas? Confessing Thomas, not Doubting Thomas. Well, let's back up then a bit today and place doubt into perspective. And then we can move on to the real issue. Are we doubters? And what can we do about it? If you have your scriptures, you can move back 5 verses from where we begin reading today, and you would find yourself a week earlier on Easter morning. And it's almost like a deja vu experience, because there we have the disciples again because of fear behind closed doors. Jesus appears to them, immediately says, "Peace be with you." And then he also immediately begins to show them his hands and his side, and the disciples gladly confess him and believe that he has risen from the dead. Of course, Thomas was not there a week before. There's no indication in the New Testament, however, when you look at Thomas, that Thomas would have doubted in that case. He simply hadn't seen what Jesus had clearly shown the disciples. So if he would have been there on Easter morning, most likely, we might say, he would have believed along with the rest of the disciples. But he wasn't there on Easter. And he was doubting the words of authentic witness a week later and thereafter. Are you now doubting the authentic witness? Are you really the doubting? Am I the doubting Thomas? Of course, Thomas made some audacious demands. He would not believe without seeing Jesus' wounds, like his fingers, a nail, putting them into the hands of Jesus, his hands like a spear going into the side of Jesus. If he could have that happen, then he would believe. Well, Jesus does appear in our text a week later. The disciples are now gathered together once again, and there is Thomas with them this time. And while Jesus, of course, could have scolded him, he says the very same thing that he said previously, "Peace be to you." And then he immediately almost seems to repeat what he had done a week before, except in this case, he goes immediately to Thomas, and demonstrating that he is the Lord of the universe, he goes and he says, "Thomas, go and put your fingers into my hands. Put your hand into my side. Be not believing or unbelieving, but believing." And of course, it was at that time, I assume, that he didn't have to do that, that he was a believer when Jesus appeared and said those words to him. And then he gave that great confession that, by the way, you don't find the other disciples saying, "My Lord and my God." Of course, they confessed Jesus in other words, but this is a strong confession, certainly, we will all agree. It was a strong confession, but it came on the heels of doubt and presents us with the real question and Jesus' lesson for all of us here today. Jesus turns this occasion into a lesson about faith for all people thereafter. Listen carefully. In any legal court, eyewitness accounts are spoken, right? They go up to the stand, they speak, and a stenographer is writing them down. If you would have been there that day, you would have seen the same things that Thomas seen. You would have seen the same things when Thomas was absent that the disciples had seen. But then those oral witnesses are written down, and all generations after that account must then consult the written witness, the written witness of what happened. Jesus here speaks for every great, well-known saint that believed after Thomas. Every great saint from Irenaeus through all the fathers up until Luther, to the most obscure saint who nobody has ever known before, when he gave this lesson, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." What about you? It's not really about Thomas anymore, is it? It's about us. This text includes arguably the greatest beatitude of all. Remember the beatitudes that Jesus spoke in the Sermon on the Mount? This is the greatest one perhaps of all. Thomas believed. He was only lacking in this one small thing. He should have believed the report of the disciples, the witness of the disciples, without demanding sight. Jesus showed Thomas, but today instead Jesus turns to us and he asks you and me, will you also be like Thomas? Or will you believe me on the basis of the written report, the Holy Scriptures? Thomas, the first time around, you have the witness of the apostles, just as Thomas did that first time, who he did not believe. It's more than a courtroom legal record, of course. This is the very word of God that we have, and it does not lie. It says to you, Jesus Christ became incarnate. He lived, he died, he took away your sins. Are you going to call God a liar because your conscience bothers you for your sins? It is God who came and died and rose again and says to you, "This is my witness. Believe it. I have risen for you." Am I a doubter or am I a believer? And if I am, why am I? If I'm a doubter, isn't it time that some of us discovered how we remove doubt? We go back to the record, the witness, and we believe it as Thomas did not the first time, but gave us that great confession the second time that we all follow on the basis of the written record. Go back to that record, to the word daily. There the very Spirit of God lives and breathes and has your being in mind. And he will convince you repeatedly of all those things through his faithful witnesses. Amen.